Welcome to the show. I'm Jordan Harbinger. As always, I'm here with my producer, Jason DeFilippo. My friend Dave Asprey is one of the guys that essentially pioneered the biohacking industry. In fact, I don't even think we really talked much about biohacking before he came on the scene. He spent over $1 million and 20 years, it's probably millions at this point, and 20 years biohacking. And he scaled that to a nine-figure business over the past few years, which has just been incredible to watch. Everyone's heard of Bulletproof Coffee. I've gone to a bunch of different countries. Australia, they got Bulletproof Coffee. It's just everywhere. And today, we're talking about brain kryptonite. This is the focus of his new book. It's called Headstrong. By brain kryptonite, I mean we're talking about things like increasing energy in your brain, why this is important. And we focus on getting rid of brain fog and being able to stay focused for a longer period of time. I found those skills particularly useful here. I don't do health-related episodes. Y'all know that, especially because I'm no expert in this area. But I wanted to help get the word out about Dave's work because I think we can all use a bit of a boost in the brain department especially. And if you want to know how I managed to create this network for myself of incredible guests, great friends, well, I do this deliberately and I created a course that is free for you about how to start that process. That's over at jordanharbinger.com/level1. All right, here's Dave Asprey.
Dave, tell me your backstory because you're one of the guys that essentially pioneered the biohacking movement, unless I just don't know about everything that came beforehand, which is possible. But I know that in the beginning, the on-ramp was Bulletproof Executive. I don't even know if you still have that brand. And then a handful of other people who were doing things that I can't even remember. And then suddenly I took a nap and woke up and Bulletproof Coffee was all over the world.
Well, what happened is I spent 20 years doing research and a nonprofit for anti-aging, talking with all these functional medicine people and other experts in nutrition. And I realized there's a whole bunch of bodybuilders over here and pro athletes over here and Navy SEALs over here and astronaut recovery people here and neurologists, and none of them talk. Mm-hmm. And I wanted full control of my own biology. And I said, we've got to have a name for this. So I came up with this name, biohacking, and I wrote it in my first blog post. I made this infographic about it and I didn't trademark the name. And I said, you know, I want this to be a community. I trademarked Bulletproof and Bulletproof Executives. That's my company. And it's in the biohacking field. Started the first biohacking conference 6 years ago. 100 people show up. Hmm. And last year we had, I think, about 3,000 people, maybe a little bit under 3,000, 2,800 or something. And we're having our next biohacking conference in April 5th in LA. And what happened is this year, Merriam-Webster's added biohacking to the dictionary.
I saw that.
Yeah. And I'm in the definition too, which is
crazy.
Oh,
really? Oh, that's pretty awesome.
So they're calling me like on whatever that was, Fox News or something on the TV, like the father of biohacking, which is really cool. I've never been in a dictionary before.
Yeah. You know, you can make the Forbes list, but you really can't really, making the dictionary is even harder.
that was kind of a surreal moment.
Yeah.
Somebody texted me, like, did you see this? I'm like, no, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So the idea is you can change the environment around you and inside of you to get control of your own biology. The first use of biohacking was in 92, but it was more about inserting jellyfish genes into your cat so it'll glow and things like that. So
there's, also cool, yeah, though.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. When are you going to try that on yourself?
I was going to do that like to my sister when I was young, but it didn't work.
It didn't work. You tried it and it didn't work?
I just colored her with yellow markers, but I was four, so
fair. Fair. But she still glowed, at least for a little while. I remember when I was taking those glow sticks as a kid that you'd get on Halloween, and I would pour them all over myself, and I'd be like, look, I'm glowing. And my mom would freak out, because who knows what's in those things,
exactly, man.
There's no way. Like, it's in a thick plastic shell, because you don't want your kid to chew it open.
Right.
But I managed. I am determined. Yep.
I've bathed myself in that stuff more times than I should have.
Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine.
I don't think that counts as biohacking, but it was preliminary.
No, I mean, it might be the opposite in a lot of ways. You also had to lose a bunch of weight and everything, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how did you originally get into this? I know it was not because you're like, I'm so healthy. I want to be even healthier.
It was sort of the opposite.
Yeah.
I had arthritis diagnosed when I was 14 in my knees.
Is that genetic then?
No, it's probably environmental. And no one knew what it was at the time. I was obese. I hit 300 pounds when I was about 23.
And 300 pounds.
300 pounds.
How much, for people who are watching us, do you mind if I ask how much you weigh now?
I weigh 203 pounds right now, and I'm 9.6% body fat, and I have 19.4 pounds of fat on my body.
So you used to have like 119.4, give or take.
It's hard to know if it was give or take. It's hard to know how much of that was inflammation versus fat. Like that's how much weight I lost. But I'm sure that a lot of it was inflammation. But I was a 46-inch waist. I'm a 33-inch waist now.
Yeah.
I'm actually lower than I was as a junior in high school.
Wow.
Which is phenomenal. Yeah. 45.
Not bad.
Right?
Not bad.
I also, I got other, quote, diseases of aging. So I'm 26, working in Silicon Valley. I made $6 million when I was 26. I was at the company that held Google's first server. I was a co-founder of a part of that company. And we ended up, you know, starting the data center and cloud computing business. And I started getting brain fog to the point I bought disability insurance because I wouldn't hire myself because I couldn't remember anything.
Oh, man. And you were, what, were you coding? Or
I was more of an architect. I ended up running a program for the University of California to teach engineers how to build the internet. So it's like, how should it work? How must it work? So I was a coder originally, but then I became like a technology architect kind of guy.
Probably helps to know how to remember things and keep things straight in your head at that point.
It was terrifying, actually. And also my emotions would just get all over the place. And then I said, something's wrong. And I said, I'm going to just exercise. I'm going to lose the weight no matter what. I've had a couple knee surgeries by then. And I worked out an hour and a half a day, 6 days a week. And after a year, actually That's 18 months of that, I didn't lose any weight. I could max all the machines. And I realized I eat less than all my friends. And I work out more than all my friends. And I'm fatter than all my friends. And I thought, oh, it's a moral failing. I should eat less lettuce leaves or something.
Sure.
And what it was I was eating the wrong stuff. And there were environmental factors that are involved. And I fired my doctor when he told me vitamin C would kill me and that maybe I should lose weight. When I told him what I did, he just looked at me like he knew I was lying. I was clearly leaving just stuff in Snickers bars down.
Right.
And it's very common. Doctors are taught this. And I'm like, okay, no one's going to help me. I'm just going to hack this. And fortunately, I am a computer hacker. Mm-hmm. So I stayed up every night and I would just read PubMed. And I would take, by the way, I lost my $6 million 2 years after I made it. So I haven't.
Oh, yeah. Classic Silicon Valley
yeah,
story.
It was a great couple of years, but I would just buy anything I thought would help. And I dug really deep. I learned about electrical currents on the body and the first infrared light for the brain almost 20 years ago, EEG neurofeedback. And then I started running an anti-aging nonprofit group that let me talk to people three times my age who were reversing the symptoms I had. I was diagnosed with high risk of stroke and heart attack and prediabetes before I was 30.
Wow. You were super unhealthy.
I was trash.
Are there people in your family that are that unhealthy or?
No. I mean, my mom's side of the family isn't particularly healthy. There's a lot of autoimmunity.
Because how did you get there? You know, how did you get that unhealthy? Stress and what else?
Stress is probably a part of it, but it was a lot of it environmental stress. So there's two big factors. One of them is if you're sympathetic dominant or you have a strong fight or flight response, basically if you're anxious.
Yeah.
And for me, we trace that back. I know exactly where that came from. It comes from two places. It's common in entrepreneurs. The most common one is if you're bullied.
Yeah, okay. So like, sign up any computer guy for that one.
Pretty much. I mean, we go to mastermind talks with Jason or any of these big entrepreneur conferences. You ask around, everyone in the room was bullied. Like, it's just how it works. And then you're like, I got to prove something. So I had some of that. And also, I was born with the umbilical cord wrapped around my neck.
Oh, I've heard of a lot of people. Actually.
Yeah. And I actually got to work with the woman who invented, for 30 years, she's run the group on this. She didn't invent it, but she documented and progressed the science on pre and perinatal trauma. So I came into the world ready to kill, thinking someone was trying to kill me, and I never stopped.
Right? Gotcha.
And it also affected my ability to make connections with other people because you're like, I'm alone, like nothing's safe.
Sure.
And I ditched all that in my like early 30s. I did a lot of personal development work. So that was a part of it. But the biggest part, I grew up in a basement that had a water leak and there was toxic mold in the basement. So in addition to all this weird stuff, autoimmunity, I would have nosebleeds every day. I had rashes and asthma and just all this weird stuff. And now that I've done a documentary on toxic mold, I've interviewed all the top experts and started a company that helps to solve that problem and even eliminated mold in the bulletproof coffee beans. I understand exactly the biology of this stuff. And so what happened to me is I got Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid condition. A lot of entrepreneurs have it.
Yeah, it's so funny. I was just going to say, I know like this seems to be the thing that everyone is either being diagnosed with now and that it's because they didn't know how to find it before or it's more common or it's just a bias, confirmation bias on my part.
I love it that you said that though, because I interviewed a ton of people on my show and wrote a book called Game Changers that's just coming out. And one of the rules, these are 46 laws based on my interview and just my love of Robert Greene's work. I know you just interviewed Robert Greene.
Yeah.
So a hero of mine. And this idea that what do all of these high performers do? who I've had on the show, and you know, some of the mutual friends, people who've been on your show. But I asked them these questions, and one of the things that came out of it is that I'm not going to paraphrase the law exactly right from memory, because there's 46 of them. But the idea is that if you burn the candle at both ends, you don't get that back. And what happens is entrepreneurs or just high stress people, when you hit a certain emotional or work stress thing and you don't sleep and you're flying all over the place, and even if you're over-exercising, and especially with environmental insults like that.
So my entire life.
Well, this is like endemic.
Yeah.
Once you hit that wall and then you get a little car accident or you get a virus or a family member dies, another stressor, it pushes you over and then autoimmunity turns on. So people like you and me, we're more likely to have our immune system start attacking our body. And the first thing that gets attacked is your thyroid quite often.
Why is that the case?
I don't know why the thyroid is. I think we know why your immune system does that. But the deal here is really straightforward from talking to all these people and just having to force myself to do the thinking to structure it in the book. Is that you can push really hard and then recover. And you push hard and recover. And what I did, like, I'll just turn the volume all the way up and just leave it there. Like, just hold the accelerator to the floor.
Right? I don't need to recover. I'm fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I'm young.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I'll just push harder. It's a willpower thing. And so what you end up doing is you permanently put the brakes on. Once you start doing that, all the energy that should go into repairing your cells goes into attacking your cells. And you can undo a lot of that. And I've managed to turn off my Hashimoto's antibodies. But here's the deal. Just as a thing for high performers, the best people in the world, they push really hard and then they recover like maniacs, and they push hard, they recover. And the ones who are running from something, I have to prove I'm good enough. I have to run away from failure the way I made my $6 million and lost my $6 million with that kind of a mindset. That's what breaks you. And that was a part of my issue. So I had a chemical assault from the toxic mold that was in my bedroom. And I had emotional stress. And then, you go to work and you're like, I'm going to push really hard. And then you go through a bad breakup and things like that. And all of a sudden your body just starts to betray you.
You're listening to The Jordan Harbinger Show with our guest, Dave Asprey. We'll be right back after this. This episode is sponsored in part by HostGator. Do you have a business card? If you do, it probably lists your website. If you don't have a business card, it's probably because your website serves that purpose virtually. Either way, you got to have a website. It's 2019. There's no excuse for you not having a website. It should look clean. It should load easily. It should hardly ever go down. So if you want to have your home on the internet, let our friends at HostGator handle your website needs. It's never been easier, and the best thing is you can start today. You don't have to have a professional developer. Just because your site needs some bells and whistles, HostGator has plenty of add-ons that'll pump your site full of pro-looking features. And that's why they've got their website builder, which we recommend. HostGator will let you choose from over 100 beautiful templates. So the site's going to look good on a tablet. It's going to look good on a phone. It's going to look good on a desktop. There's all kinds of add-ons. PayPal, so you can accept payment. SEO plugins. WordPress you can install with a click. You can get all kinds of cool templates there. And if that sounds more advanced than you'd like, just use the basics on HostGator's easy-to-use control panel. They guarantee it'll be up 99.9% of the time. They've got 24/7, 365 customer support. And HostGator is giving our wonderful listeners up to 62% off all packages for new users. And they've got a 45-day complete money-back guarantee. Go to HostGator.com/Jordan to sign up. That's HostGator.com/Jordan. This episode is also sponsored by Intuit. If you could live your most prosperous life, what would that look like? Would you open your own business? Would you buy a new home? Would you go back to college? Maybe pay off your loans and save for retirement? Well, whatever your vision, Intuit can help you get closer to that future with financial tools that help you save time and money. Easy-to-use software like QuickBooks, TurboTax, and Mint make invoices, budgeting, taxes, and expenses as simple as possible, from helping you get your maximum tax refund to automating your business's accounting, helping you manage budgets. Intuit helps make complicated finances easy. With these tools, you can confidently manage your money and work towards a more prosperous future. Your long-term goals could be closer than you think. Join over 50 million people who are using Intuit's products to achieve prosperity. Learn more at Intuit.com.
Intuit, proud makers of TurboTax, QuickBooks, and Mint. Don't forget we have a worksheet for today's episode so you can make sure you solidify your understanding of the key takeaways from Dave Asprey. That link is in the show notes at jordanharbinger.com/podcast. Thanks for listening and supporting the show. To learn more about our sponsors and get links to all the great discounts you just heard, visit jordanharbinger.com/deals. If you'd like some tips on how to subscribe to the show, just go to jordanharbinger.com/subscribe. And now back to our show with Dave Asprey.
Why do we have autoimmune? I never quite understood this. It doesn't, there's nothing readily coming to me that says So I'm really stressed out, therefore my body should attack itself. Like, what is the process that's happening here? I realize you're not a doctor, but you know all about
this. Well, I'm a New York Times science author, at least, so I have a good...
Yeah, you should have a good understanding of this.
I have not written about the immune system specifically, more about mitochondria, which are the power plants in the cells. My last big book was...
I remember that from sixth grade biology.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. These guys, they're ancient bacteria that sense the environment around you, and they're trying to figure out, is this a stressful situation or is this not? And they're doing it on a cell-by-cell basis. And that can roll up into, they're interpreting stress that maybe you wouldn't think of as stress, but they already got the signal before you had a chance to think about it.
Okay.
And that's definitely a part of it, because they're the ones that are the first-line responders. And we also know, based on the work of a doctor named Candace Pert, she's a researcher who's passed away, who discovered the opioid receptor in our brain. So a very celebrated figure in science. And she went from this hardcore Western rationalist approach to more of a very balanced Eastern Western approach. And she actually showed in her work called The Molecules of Emotion that your immune system has a memory of its own. And what tends to happen is that in the case of, let's say, a toxic mold, it creates compounds that cause your white blood cells, your immune system, to get hyperaggressive. And it oftentimes sensitizes your white blood cells to the proteins that line, say, your thyroid or very commonly your nerve sheath, called the myelin binding protein. Yeah. And so because these are molecular mimics, you get that. And it's also well shown that if you learn to meditate, if you relax, you increase your heart rate variability, you learn how to not just think you're chilling, but actually chill, that it reduces inflammation in the immune system. So the immune system is kind of a mimic of what's going on inside our brain, but the exact mechanisms of autoimmunity, once we crack that, it's going to change the world. In fact, last weekend, I was at the XPRIZE Visioneering Summit with Peter Diamandis, and one of the big XPRIZEs that I think got nominated for next year was funding, you know, a $10 or $20 million prize specifically to deal with autoimmunity. I believe the number one cause of autoimmunity is environmental toxic mold, because I've seen it over and over, and it's such an endemic problem. And the number two cause is, it's either hate or stress. They go together.
Yeah, they do go together.
It's a psychological, emotional, spiritual thing that's part of it.
I know you've spent like $1 million just... I was going to insert a really crude joke here, but I won't. Messing with your own biology and biohacking yourself over the last 20 years. And I think that's pretty fascinating, because a lot of people who are in this field, they will take that sample size of one and then say, here's all this stuff we're going to do. Luckily, your sample size seems to be enormous right now, because I just got back from Australia and every cafe had bulletproof coffee.
Some of them are real.
Yeah. I was like, is it really the same beans? And then they're just like, no, we just take, you know, whatever coffee, and then we throw some ghee in it, or some just butter, and that's it.
Bulletproof is available in Australia, but not widely. And here's the deal. I thought about this when I first started this. Anytime you put butter in your coffee instead of milk, you are getting more benefits from your coffee than milk, because milk steals antioxidants from coffee. So even if everyone in the world switches to butter in moldy coffee, the world is still better off. But it's not bulletproof. Don't call it that. It's called butter coffee.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you can try that. But I think the problem/the best thing is, look, if you invented tissue paper and you called it Kleenex, and then I grabbed a Costco brand and I say it's a Kleenex, it's not the official thing. But like, when your brand has made it that far into, what do you call it, the public conscience?
It's an honor if
it's
people
pretty
want to
cool.
copy you.
Yeah.
But we send a lot of letters to make sure the trademark is well protected.
Yeah, yeah. You can. I think that ship has probably sailed in some countries, though, especially.
We have global trademarks, but yeah? It's just enforcement in different countries. You do it different levels.
You could go broke trying to enforce it.
Yeah.
I think it's probably... It's better for your brand to be recognizable than to go after the food cart at the mall in Australia.
I got the best photo from a remote town in India, and there's a little handmade sign, bulletproof coffee. Oh, it was probably just ghee and whatever coffee.
Sure.
It was not bulletproof coffee. And I don't think we could find that guy to send him a warning letter, and we wouldn't. But I would say, if you're thinking about putting coffee in your cafe, we'll happily sell you the beans that are lab tested for mold toxins, brain octane, which is required. It's not MCT oil. It's different and better. And we'll get you some grass-fed butter. That's easy.
Nice. Well, okay, look, Silicon Valley is inhaling bulletproof coffee, branded or not. David Beckham had it or something, I think. I saw that somewhere online.
I think there was something on social about that.
And Hollywood loves it. And it sort of spans the gamut of people that... It went beyond the laughter curtain of why the hell are you putting butter in your coffee.
It went pretty fast, actually. And this is a lesson for entrepreneurs listening, and it's the opposite of what they taught me at business school. I went to Wharton.
Yeah.
Same school as Trump.
And Adam Grant.
Yeah.
In your defense, Adam Grant went there too. A lot of good people went there. A lot of great people on both sides.
I think it's a fantastic school. The only issue is they didn't have a built-in ethics program when I went there. It was the only school that didn't, so we were giving them a hard time about it. I think they've since remedied that. But they taught us in one class, it's cheaper to spend a dollar telling people your product is good than it is making the product good.
Oh, that's depressing.
It's a common business school teaching.
And let's highlight that, though, one more time. It's cheaper to spend a dollar telling people your product is good than to spend that dollar actually making the product good.
And I fundamentally believe that's unethical. And I also believe people are smart enough to buy what works. And having an efficacious product, a product that actually does what you say it can do, that you can feel and see a difference. So the reason Bulletproof took off wasn't the brand, although I think it's a pretty awesome name.
It is a great name. I've thought about stealing it many times, but I like you too much to do that.
Thank you.
And I don't want to get sued.
Yeah, nice. But the honest truth is that people try it and they go, I thought it was BS, but I actually noticed a difference in how I felt. I think I want to feel this way more. And then they tell their friends because they want to share something that matters. And that's what made it spread.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I probably could have called it, you know, Buttercup or something.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it wouldn't have been as cool to refer, though. It wouldn't have done as well in the bro culture with the name Buttercup. I know. I remember in the 90s, there was this, you might remember this, it was like an Arctic expedition. The guys were walking to the North Pole or something like that. And I remember there was this 900 number. Remember those?
That you could
call and get updates.
Numbers.
So my friend was at, we were all at some kid's house and we're like, let's call this 900 number because it was a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
And we'll get updates on the Arctic expedition. So we called and they were like, these guys are hiking and here's where they are. They're 100 miles north of this. And every day they put butter in their coffee. And we were like, that's so disgusting.
In the 90s?
Yeah. But I think they just needed the calories.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, this helps us absorb. I think they were just starving, and they needed the densest thing they could carry, which is pure fat.
Yeah.
So they just put that in their coffee.
It's true. Settlers would carry butter and bacon fat or tallow and like some sort of carbs, and that was about it.
Yeah. Right. It was because these guys are on foot. I mean, there's not a whole lot they could do. And so then when I heard about Bulletproof, I was like, they kind of had this, but it was a little different, and you only needed it when you were shivering so bad that you needed 5,000 calories, 7,000 calories a day.
It's kind of funny. The idea for Bulletproof Coffee came to me because I had exhausted the Western medicine stuff and I knew I still wasn't happy. And I believe that everybody fundamentally wants to be happy. I was just willing to literally go to the ends of the earth for this. So when I tried all the stuff that was supposed to work and didn't, I said, all right, I'm going to go learn meditation from the masters. So I took off for Tibet and I spent about 3 months in Nepal and Tibet, went to monasteries, meditated, things like that. And I went to Mount Kailash, which is remote Western Tibet, middle of nowhere, 5 days in a four-wheel drive to get there. And
5 days in a four-wheel drive
like
to get there?
10 hours a day. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That does not, there's no way to get there on a plane or anything.
No, this is one of the most remote parts of the world.
Wow.
And it's where basically Mount Olympus of Buddhism and Hinduism. So this is where the gods live on this mountain. No one's ever climbed the mountain. And you go and you walk a 26-mile circuit at 18,000 feet elevation around it, sort of like to honor the mountain. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go do this just because it's one of the things that no one's ever done.
Bucket list.
Well, no one from the West. It turns out a lot of people go there in the middle of summer from India and Tibet. It's one of those like going to Mecca sort of things. So I said, all right, I'm going to try this. But I got there 2 months late, and it was 10 degrees below zero, and there's 30-mile-an-hour winds, and there's only eight people in these little guest houses. You can call them the mud huts on the side. And I'm feeling wrecked because of the elevation, and it's cold, and I'm not all the way recovered the way I am now. And this little Tibetan woman, I still have a picture of her. She gives me yak butter tea, and I drank it and was like, game on.
Yeah.
Like, I feel so much better. And it just stuck in my head. I made a habit of noting when I felt amazing or when I felt crappy so I could just find the variables that caused it. And I drank a lot more of that. And when I came home, I decided, all right, I'm going to start experimenting. I ended up doing the mold-free coffee, grass-fed butter, because I tested regular butter. It doesn't work. And I added the brain octane from the knowledge I had from the anti-aging group. But something else happened in Tibet that I haven't talked about very much. I descended 7,500 vertical feet in one day, and I completely jacked up my knees. So I already had arthritis.
So you're a little like walking down.
Walking downstairs for, you know, a mile and a half vertical or something.
Oh, man.
It was, so I for 5 days, could not walk even with two poles. I could barely cross
massive swelling and inflammation.
Harsh pain. So we're driving to Tibet, and I really wanted to go on this walk, but I wasn't going to be able to do it. So we stopped at this little mud building on the side of the road, and I asked a Chinese guy on the bus, and you could read the menu. Hey, what does it say? And he read everything. I'm looking for collagen. I know I need collagen in my joints. That's what they're made out of, just to repair them. There's only one menu item that will fit the bill. It was pig's ears.
Oh, delicious, by the way.
I got a bowl of cold boiled pig's ears. It was horrible.
Really? They're kind of good if they're done right. Well, I know you're talking to like the one guy who's had bowls of pig's ears, and I'm like, you just haven't had pig's ears, buddy.
You know, I imagine they could be good. This was a roadside without refrigeration in the middle of nowhere. Like, it was brutal.
Maybe and skip the points.
I dipped them in hot soup, so, and they're really chewy.
Ooh.
But the next day, my knees were 50% better. I just needed the materials. And like, I'm not putting pig's ears in my coffee. So the reason you see collagen...
That's my new business idea.
Pig's ears coffee, you're all over it.
I've got, it's like, there's a brand here.
Bacon-proof coffee.
Bacon-proof coffee, except it's not quite bacon. It's, I'll make it Latin so it sounds fancy.
Baconoid.
Yeah, baconoid.
So what I ended up doing when I came back is, I said, all right, I know from the anti-aging stuff what collagen does biochemically. I'm going to start using it as a performance supplement. And the reason you see collagen everywhere right now, it's all because Bulletproof put collagen on the map. So the original posts about biohacking were, hey, the type of fat, this weird brain octane stuff, this butter in coffee, the purity of the coffee, at collagen protein, and those things helped me to re-sculpt my body. Like, these are fundamental technologies that were missing from the story. And it's that sort of stuff where you just notice one thing in the environment and then you say, wait, why? And then you dig in, you understand the science, and then you build a product out of it.
48 million cups. And I hate to harp on the coffee, but it's really, this is kind of like the flagship product. I know you have a million other things, but I am curious because 48 million cups of Bulletproof coffee
was a long time ago.
The guesstimate. Oh, really? That was a long time ago? So it's probably like 150 million now.
You nailed it.
Yeah, because I saw that in The Guardian, and it was like last year, but the articles
It was like 2014.
Yeah, I think it was 2016. Okay. Yeah, and but I was just thinking those poor yaks, right? They're getting milked raw. But
all six of them.
Yeah, right. Why does it matter where the butter comes from? Because I think, and I don't want to get too into the weeds on this, but I found that interesting because then it's not just the fat, right? Because you can get fat anywhere.
It turns out there's super toxic fats, there's fats that do all sorts of different things, so you can't say fat's good or bad for you. It depends exactly which fat. And when I came back, I just bought some butter, and it was organic butter, it wasn't grass-fed, and some tea, and I blended it. It just tasted bad and didn't make me feel good. And I thought, what the heck? So I ended up trying all these different teas, $100 an ounce tea kind of things, all these different, no difference. So then I went to the gourmet store, I had 24 different kinds of butter, and I just tested them all. And I said, wait, these two work, and those are the grass-fed butter. And I said, okay, it feels different if you use grass-fed butter. So I standardized on that. And this was just a process of experimentation and elimination. And then I tried coconut oil and coconut milk. And then I tried MCT oil, which is four different kinds of fat all mixed together, one of which doesn't do anything biologically compared to the others. And I ended up, after trial and error, came up with the one of the four kinds of MCT that's brain octane oil. That was the one that you could feel the kick. It had the most effect. 3 years after I launched that, UC San Diego came out with a study that shows it's four times more ketogenic. It causes ketones to rise in the body, even if you add carbs, four times more than coconut oil and twice as much as the MCT oils that even work, and probably three times more than plain old MCT, including all the junk stuff that you can buy that doesn't raise ketones at all.
I want to switch gears a little to the brain stuff, because I got a little sidetracked on the coffee because I'm interested in it. But the brain kryptonite and some of the ideas from Headstrong are really interesting, because there's a lot of people that think they're eating right, myself included. I mean, I'll be honest. I think I'm eating right sometimes, but a lot of entrepreneurs, they complain, oh, I slow down a lot, or I have brain fog, or maybe I'm burning out. And it seems like that's probably true. A lot of us are overworked. But I think a lot of us are getting the wrong kind of fuel, or we're in environments where things aren't so good. And I know for me, one weird observation that I have is, let's say you're wearing way too much cheap cologne and we're on an airplane. Yeah. Not only am I cranky, you can ask anyone who's been close to me for any amount of years, but I either get ravenously hungry, but I'm craving junk food, and or I can't sit down and do a task. And I thought I was just getting distracted by the smell. But there's something else going on.
It's biochemical. Yeah, I've gone through a phase of my life where I had the same problem, and it comes and goes. And that is a toxin effect. And the reason you're getting the sugar craving like that is your cells are freaking out. They're interpreting that as a toxic assault, which frankly it is. That stuff is endocrine disrupting. It's bad for you. But when that response happens, they're sending out an emergency signal and they're saying, make a lot of energy. Like fight or flight gets triggered. You don't have the energy there. Eat sugar. You got to have sugar.
Yeah.
And it turns out if you want to nail that when it first happens, what you can do is you can actually have 2 packets of sugar, so just a couple bites of something with sugar. Coffee helps a lot. And there's three different things that I'll take if that happens. One of them is called Keto Prime. And yes, these are supplements I make. I'm not trying to sell them. I'm just like, I make them for a reason is all I'm saying. Keto Prime makes it so your cells can make energy more easily. I make another supplement called Unfair Advantage, a little ampule you squeeze.
Oh, I've had that before.
Yeah. That stuff in that situation, the cell's like, oh, I needed that. These are building blocks for energy. And so the energy demand on your brain just went way through the roof. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, here's a little bit of sugar. You can burn it. And here's some stuff that's going to make it so that it burns more smoothly. And then, of course, Brain Octane works. And there's a supplement I also make called glutathione, which is the primary detoxing antioxidant. So you can stack all those up. And then what would have been a, you know, I'm zombified, my eyes are rolled back in my head and I'm cranky. Mm-hmm. And it turns into, okay, I'm back. And I went from times in my life where that would happen and I'd just be down for the count for like the whole day.
Yeah.
Right. And now I generally recover within a few minutes if I just hit it with the right stack. And it is an energetic thing in the cells and that's now hackable.
Well, I like the idea that coffee helps as well. Although usually I just want to pour it on the person that's wearing all the cologne.
It's sometimes really helpful because it washes the cologne right off.
It's scalding hot temperatures.
I was in an Uber car this morning and...
Oh, the air fresheners? I always get it. I got to get out.
I just ask him. I just say, hey, could you toss those in the glove box? Mm-hmm. And then like, what? I'm like, seriously? But this was a guy wearing so much cologne. And it was an Uber. I'd go for the... whatever the select ones are, because they usually don't have all the crap in the car. The guy was wearing so much cologne, I just rolled the windows down and kind of hung out the window.
It's the worst.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's the worst. Yeah, that's how I knew that something was wrong, because I got in an Uber once, and I was fine. I was really happy. I was talking to my wife on the phone, and I got in the Uber, and I immediately got ravenously and kind of, like, danger zone level of hunger and hangry.
Yeah. Hangry. Hangry is the right word.
Yeah, I got hangry, but it was immediate, and I said, hey, man, can you take out the air fresheners? And he goes, sure. And he pulled over to the side of the highway, which is not what I intended for him to do. And he reached in, you know, those drink holders on the side of the car.
Yeah.
He reached in on one side with his hand and pulled out 7 cube air fresheners and then reached in the other side and pulled out 7 more
Jeez.
In each door. And then he threw them in the glove box and slammed the glove box shut. And I was like, you have like 30 air fresheners in this car.
And you know what that does to the driver? That stuff mimics estrogen in the body. It disrupts all kinds of things, including your thyroid. You want to talk about Hashimoto's and thyroid dysfunction? Synthetic fragrances do that. Those things should be banned.
Why does that? What's going on there? I didn't know that you could inhale something and it would trigger that much.
Like smoke?
I mean, smoke for sure. Yeah. Okay. Now that you put it that way, it all makes
inhalation
sense.
Inhalation is a very powerful
inhalation. Yeah. I believe in college, I experimented with the inhalation administering
but if
certain
you eat
things.
It doesn't hit as hard.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. It just takes longer.
Or so I've heard.
That's right. That's right. So I've heard. Good point. Well, I'm going to recover from that somehow.
but let's go back to just being an entrepreneur on that.
Sure.
So you're cruising along, you're trying to get stuff done. Something that you didn't choose like that whacks you over the head. And now you're still, because you're a good person, you're going to succeed. You're going to grit your teeth. You're going to apply willpower. Willpower still uses electricity like everything else, but your electricity just got stolen.
Right.
So now you're pushing, but the accelerator is all the way to the floor. You're not going faster. You're slowing down. And what are you going to do? You're going to get hangry. It's natural. Yeah. So it's our responsibility, especially as entrepreneurs, especially if you have a team working for you, your energy state is reflected in your company. This is something that I've learned. I spent a huge amount of time meditating with electrodes on my head and stuff like that, because if I wanted to be able to grow bulletproof the way I wanted to, I have to have my shit together.
Yeah.
Right. And that means that if something happens in the world around me that makes me weak, I've got to have a countermeasure, or I've got to be able to just remain calm. And it's a lot easier to remain calm when you have enough energy. It's hard to remain calm when you're crashing. So I avoid the crashes. And you eliminate toxins or just remove some of them from your environment. You eat so your blood sugar doesn't crash. You get background ketones by putting brain octane and stuff in your food or in your coffee, whatever. And all of a sudden you have stable energy. And that means when you need to make a decision, apply willpower, you have more resilience. And resilience is what makes an entrepreneur able to succeed at the end of the day and stops you from yelling at your assistant or your spouse or all that. It's all about the brain. That's why my first book was, you know, what do you eat to feel good and look good and not spend a lot of time worrying about it? The second book was, what do you do to make your brain work way, way more often and longer and better than it normally does? Because that's what I needed. These are like my own, my own precious things.
Your own issues as well. And I think one of the chief problems that I had with all this stuff initially was, look, caveman or whatever, or even 100 years ago, 50 years ago, we didn't have all these different oils and all those different things we were putting in. But upon further reflection, we also weren't working 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, and sitting in front of computer screens and talking on phones and bathing in blue light, which we'll get into in a second. Yeah. And a lot of things were different back then that we still suffered consequences, didn't know what they were, why they were happening. But now it's much more.
The basic rule is this. If you want to get all of your nutrients from your food, make sure you get all of your toxins from Mother Nature. Like, try to do that while living on the planet. You cannot do it no matter where you are. Like, there's glyphosate in the North Pole at this point. Right? So we are now under a higher load biologically on a subcellular level than we ever have been, not to mention all the social media and stuff like that. So, of course, if you're going to be able to outperform in a harder to perform environment, you might want to modify your fuel source.
Sure.
It just makes sense.
Let's talk about blue light, because this is something that actually changed my life quite a bit recently, both using it appropriately and getting rid of it.
Oh, wow.
A friend of mine, I can't remember why, we went to China, my wife and I, and a friend said, hey, you know, how's your jet lag? And I said, it's miserable. They said, order this light off Amazon. So we did, and we turned it on in the morning, and it was really, really effective.
Like a blue-green light?
It was some sort of blue disc.
Yeah, Philips makes one, and there's some glasses called Recharger that do that.
It really worked well, and I thought, this is really cool. And then I heard something from guys like you and other friends where at night I was like, wow, I'm having trouble falling asleep. I'll just look at my phone for 3 hours. And I just felt like I could not go to sleep. And I'm pretty good at falling asleep. So I was wondering what was going on. It's just some sort of lifestyle change, some sort of trigger. And then I want to say you or someone else had given me a pair of blue blockers.
Was it the True Dark ones? The dark ones?
This is a long time ago.
Okay, so like 15 years ago, I started doing blue blockers, but it's progressed since then.
They actually looked kind of like what an old lady wears after UVX eye surgery.
Yeah. By the way, people, these are $8 online.
Yeah.
You can get blue blockers, but if you block all the blue, you're not going to like what happens during the day. And if you block all the blue, it doesn't work all the way at night either.
Right.
That's the problem. I was overdoing it during the day and underdoing it at night.
Yeah, there were some issues with what I was doing, definitely. But I'll tell you, once I started wearing these things, even just in the hour and a half, 2 hours of watching TV, which I don't really do anymore, which is, I didn't realize, a massive source of unhealthy blue light, I would lay down. I would actually either fall asleep while we were watching TV, or I would lay down and immediately conk out. And Jen's like, wow, you must be so tired now. And I'm like, I've always been as tired. I just don't want to keep watching TV for 4 hours when I watch for 30 minutes and I'm starting to nod off.
Yeah.
And the blue light glasses or goggles or whatever, depending on my day, makes all the difference. And I've noticed even little things like, I have an air purifier in our room and there's a blue light on it.
You have to tape it over.
Literally an LED.
I have to tell you.
This thing keeps me awake all freaking night until I taped it over.
So I got so tired of this. One of the companies I started is called True Dark, and I'm wearing a pair of them right now.
I have a case of those in my house right now.
Do you have the sleep ones?
I have. Are those the red dark, ones dark that red are ones? Like goggly red?
Yeah, those ones are patented spectral filters. There's four of those, four different spectrums inside there. Those are the ones that, for me, I've eliminated jet lag. Tomorrow I'm flying to New York. I'm getting there late sometime. I use those there. I'm going to be on Dr. Oz, which is why I'm going there. And you don't want to have jet lag when you're going to be on TV because you want to yourself.
You can also look really jet lagged on TV. Yeah. It's not a good look.
No. So you could fly the 3 days early just to make sure you look good. I don't have 3 days. I don't want to play with my kids, right? So I wear these glasses religiously when I'm flying from west to east. And truly, I don't get jet lag anymore. But the blue blockers didn't cut it, so I had to go one. And if you don't have those ones...
I do. They're the ones that when you wear them, you look like a supervillain, right?
Yeah, or like a cyclops, kind of.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you see people wearing them on airplanes now because they're... In fact, we've measured within 15 minutes shifts in brainwaves in people wearing them. They're as... Yeah. Junk light is like corn syrup.
Yeah.
And so that's important. And for those little... The flashy light things, I got so tired of this. My house had... like electrical tape on everything. So that same company makes these little dots that are die cut. They either block it entirely, but sometimes you need to see it. They just filter out all the blue.
Right, you need to know the things on. Yeah.
Yeah, they filter out the blue, so it's just a dim red light. And everything in my house has that. And in my hotel room, those stupid blinking green lights right above your bed.
Oh, yeah.
I always get up there and stick one on there because how can you sleep with every 5 seconds there's a bright green flash?
Those things drive me nuts. And I thought I was just being high maintenance.
Green is a spectrum that disrupts mitochondrial function. It talks to something called melanopsin sensors in your eyes, which are driven by mitochondria. Then that talks to a part of your brain that isn't even where vision is processed. It goes straight to your timing system. Mm. So your brain's getting a little signal every 5 seconds. Hey, daytime. Daytime.
Oh, God.
And you wake up feeling like a zombie. It's just science. And the Nobel Prize was awarded for circadian biology. So I wanted to do these actually in Bulletproof. And then I talked to my team and they're like, Dave, this is a very big difference from the supplements, the nootropics and the coffee and the protein bars and all that. Let's not. So I actually started a separate company. I don't operate this. I funded it and got the IP organized. But the company is called True Dark. And I always wear these glasses when I'm indoors because I have my brain on at the end of the day. And I would say for everyone who stares at a phone, there's something that you can do that's free. I'm going to show you right now. It'll take like half a second.
Okay.
So watch this. This is a normal iPhone. I want to show you my calendar because you'll cry if you see it.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. So what you normally do is your phone looks like this. It's just a normal, like I saw you wince.
Yeah. Okay. It's really harsh.
So
night shift is not on. Yeah.
First thing I do, night shift is always on no matter what. But here's what you can do with the disability settings that are on here. So I have this set up. I can triple click and I can reduce the white point. And all of a sudden it's not as bright.
Interesting.
And you triple click again, I turn on the red filter. Now it's like I'm wearing the red glasses, but I'm not.
Interesting.
You can stare at that phone in a dark room. And you're not going, it's not as good as wearing the glasses, but it cuts out probably 85% of the bad light. The settings are there, but they're not designed into the settings. You have to go in and basically do the visual accessibility settings.
We can link to, do you have a video of you doing this online? Yeah, we'll link to that in the show notes because otherwise it's impossible to show people what we're doing. But I also have the accessibility shortcut set to do that dimming thing.
You know how to do that, okay.
Yeah, cool. But I've never seen the red filter
before.
I'll
turn it on for you.
Yeah.
But what ends up happening, like, okay, either we're crazy or we kick ass, right? It's one of those things. If I can get 5% more energy by doing this or my sleep quality, by the way, the True Dark, the red glasses, I double my number of hours of deep sleep when I measure it. If I do that, it works. So yes, I'll squeeze every drop out of every day. And if I have to wear glasses or, you know, not eat the deep fried cheesecake or whatever, it's a trade that I'm happy to make because I love what I do. And if I hated my life, maybe I would just eat the cheesecake and stare at the screen. I don't know, but I don't like how I feel that way.
These little tweaks have made a lot of changes. Now, I'm not familiar, and I definitely haven't delved into the science of everything.
You don't need to.
Bulletproof otherwise, but I will say things like the blue blockers, my wife can attest that when I put those things on, it's lights out. I mean, she can be reading with a light on, and if I've got the Cyclops goggles on, it's over. And these little lights in your room that you think aren't making a big deal out of
it,
they are absolutely ruining sleep.
Check this out. A study came out in Japan. They looked at 800 people. The amount of light that comes in around your curtains in a normal city, not like with a bright light around it, just normal light leakage, causes a 63% increase in depression compared to sleeping in a dark room.
That's crazy.
It's that big of a deal. It messes with your body's sense of when and where you are. So the timing systems, so I'm a computer science guy. Every computer has a clock in it. And if the computer doesn't have a clock, no circuit knows what other circuits are doing and it doesn't work. So your body has quadrillions of these little things all trying to figure out what time it is. And they rely on a central clock. And if that doesn't match, it's no wonder that you don't run as well.
Sure. Yeah, it's like having the audio not synced to a video properly.
Well said, yeah.
Dave, thank you very much, man. Really appreciate your knowledge and the coffee.
Thanks, my friend.
Great big thank you to Dave Asprey. The book title is Headstrong. And if you want to know how I managed to book all these great guests, manage my relationships using systems and tiny habits to create friends like Dave who can help me hack my brain and body. Well, check out our level one course, which is free over at jordanharbinger.com/level1. Don't kick the can down the road. Don't say you're going to do it later. Don't put it on your plan for next month. I get that all the time. It's ridiculous. You're not doing it. You're just lying to yourself. The number one mistake I see people make is postponing this kind of thing and not digging the well before they get thirsty or not seeing the value in creating and maintaining relationships. Once you need these relationships, you are too late. These drills are designed to take a few minutes per day. This is the stuff I wish I knew 15 years ago. It is not fluff. It is crucial. And you can find that at jordanharbinger.com/level1. And speaking of relationships, tell me your number one takeaway here from Dave Asprey. I'm at Jordan Harbinger on both Twitter and Instagram. This show is produced in association with Podcast One, and this episode was co-produced by Jason the Butterman DeFilippo and Jen Harbinger. Show notes by Robert Fogarty, worksheets by Caleb Bacon, and I'm your host, Jordan Harbinger. The fee for the show is that you share it with friends when you find something useful, which is hopefully in every single episode. So please share the show with those you love and even those you don't. Lots more in the pipeline. Very excited to bring it to you. And in the meantime, do your best to apply what you hear on the show so you can live what you listen. And we'll see you next time.